I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I remember the day God saved me by His grace. I was 11 years old, raised in church all my life, and never will forget June the 29th, 1979, as an 11-year-old boy, when the Lord come by my heart and saved me by His grace. And if it ever dawns on you how much you mean to God, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody awake. Now, don't make me get Brother Tim back up here and make you do Father Abraham or something to wake you up. Amen. Amen. There's something about, Jesus told the disciples, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Amen. Anybody in here know they're going to heaven? Anybody excited about it? Amen. Anybody realize that the God of heaven, one guy said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Put in the day's mentality, if God had an iPhone, you'd be the screensaver. If God had a Facebook or a Twitter page, you'd be the profile, amen? You understand that you are the apple of His eye, amen? And if that ever dawns on you what you mean to God and how He loves you, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and me, now we're not worthy of it, amen? I deserve His judgment. I deserve to be in hell, but I'm glad that He came by where I was at, amen? Made a difference in my life because He loved me, amen? Hey, I'm glad greater love hath no man than this, than a man that laid out his life for his friend, amen? I'm gonna get to Genesis chapter 32 if you'll start finding your place there. And Matthew, that's in the Old Testament, amen. Yeah. See if you can find it in the New, amen. He turns his Bible over twice, amen. And I appreciate the Lord's goodness. Yeah. Hey, I was thinking the other day, I had Brother Dwayne Moore come by on a Wednesday night, preach for us right before Christmas. And I got to thinking about while Brother Moore was preaching about that prodigal son and how he's in the far country and how he wasted it all, amen. And yet when he came home, his father had been looking for him, amen? I like to picture that as God the Father loving us so much,
yes.
Amen? I don't know a whole lot about animals. I've been around Brother Alvin Stolfus some. He raises all kinds of stuff besides kids, amen? And Brother Alvin's son, older son, has a calf that he's got. Brother Alvin has a bull named Jerry that if he keeps acting up, we're going to be eating him, Brother Alvin said, amen? But the fact of the matter is, I have figured out you don't fatten a calf up overnight.
Right.
That father was looking for that boy to come home the day he left.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And I want to tell you that I want to preach with the help of the Lord. I want you to keep in your mind. Listen, I'll be 50 years old in June. Amen. I know that's hard to believe. I was glad Brother Alvin come in because I wasn't for a while there. I was the oldest preacher. Then Brother Alvin come in, and now Brother Alvin's glad Brother Hazup's here, amen. No. And I've always had a burden for young people, and Lord saved me when I was 11. I surrendered my life to the Lord when I was 16. And it is a joy to serve the Lord, amen. And listen, young people, I spent 12 years in prison ministry. I've seen young people throw their lives away and try to help them in prison pick the pieces up, but you do not have to do that.
Right.
You do not have to throw your life away and then come back with shambles to give it to God. You can give God your life now. The Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. I'm convinced that one of the major things that Satan uses against our young people, and I heard a young preacher preaching the other day, and all of us as young preachers say things that when we get older, we scratch our heads and wonder why we would say things like that, amen. But he was preaching about depression and really giving folks down the road that battle depression. And he said, I'm not going to battle depression because it's a sin. Well, I agree with him. Depression is a sin because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But sometimes you just don't have a choice. And Satan gets on your trail. And for us to sit here today and think, and I preached a part of this message at our church a few weeks ago, and Brother Davey called me the other day and asked me about preaching this morning, and God has just again birthed this in my heart and even given me some other things. And I want to preach just a few minutes on this thought out of Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24. And the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone. And I believe that we find that there is a tool that Satan uses to discourage us. And listen, there's a difference between solitude and loneliness.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with coming apart and finding. In fact, you ought to find some alone time with God every day,
right.
At least once a day. Amen.
Amen.
You ought to find some time that you get along with your Bible and you get along with God. And I want to encourage young people, start a journal, amen. Keep a list of some things that you don't have to write in it every day necessarily, but keep a list of what God is doing in your life, how God has answered prayer in your life. And that way, when the devil gets on your trail, you can pull that out and read through that and say, you know what? God done this for me when I was 15, and God done this for me when I was 17, and God is interested. Listen, we too many times think, and I love the men of God that's here and appreciate them, but listen, do you realize that your preacher does not mean more to God than you do? It's not that God has Brother Shelton and Brother Hayes up and Brother Clay and myself up here on a pedestal and then everybody else is under it. We're all on even ground. God thinks just as much as you. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. It don't matter. I can't sing. It don't matter. You are the apple of God's eye, amen. And Satan wants to do all he can to discourage you and cause you to throw your life away. And we find in this text that the Bible said that Jacob was left alone. We find that solitude will cause us to reflect or meditate.
Yes, sir.
And even cause us to set plans and direction. But loneliness is a feeling of dissatisfaction with the quality or the quantity of somebody's relationship. There is social loneliness when somebody goes to college or they move into a new area. There's an emotional loneliness when people feel like that they have nobody to talk to. I've sat, and every pastor in here has. Me and my wife have sat with young ladies. I've sat with young men, and they say, I just don't feel like anybody cares. I don't feel like anybody loves me. I don't feel like there's any hope. And I'm not talking about kids that's living in drug houses. I'm talking about kids that's raised up in our churches, amen, and they don't feel like they fit in, and the devil's doing all he can to isolate them. Listen, take the facade off, amen. There's not a person in this building you ain't battled that in your life. Amen. Amen. When you're a preacher, you feel discouraged because you don't have anywhere to preach. And then when your date book's full, you feel discouraged because you got to be gone all the time. Amen. The devil's going to do, the devil will never get to the place. You say, well, preacher, if I can just make it to Bible college, preachers preached about peer pressure last night. If I can just make it to Bible college, listen, I'm not against Bible colleges, amen. But if you think everybody in Bible college is walking with God, you're crazy.
That's right.
Amen. There's Jonas in Bible college. We find that there is a cause of loneliness throughout the scriptures. And I'll deal with a few things. We'll come back and deal with Jacob, and then we'll go watch y'all bounce. Me and Lynn and the kids decided to do that one time, and we signed up. Oh, yeah, 3 hours, that ain't be nothing. 45 minutes, I'm like, is the time up yet? Amen. So we're going to watch. Amen. And we find that there is a cause. Obviously, sin causes loneliness.
Yeah.
We'll look in just a few minutes in Jacob's life a little bit about that. Separation causes loneliness. There's times that death comes in your life and you feel in despair. There is situations when you take a stand that will cause the devil to bring a sense of loneliness. Even service, we think about those that not only the cause of loneliness, but we think about the company of loneliness. We think about, obviously, the sinners. And you understand that Paul himself, God told Paul that he didn't need to go to Jerusalem, and I'll not take all the time, but Paul disobeyed the Lord, Acts 21. He stayed around longer. He ended up being taken into custody, and he spent 2 full years waiting to stand before. But in the midst of all that, even in the midst of Paul's disobedience, in Acts 23, the Bible said, and that night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, and thou witnessed me in Rome. Paul, God's perfect will, because he told him not to go to Rome, was not to go to Rome. But he ended up in Rome. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? Can you imagine the devil on Paul's trail? Demas is, there's those that, and I believe as well that Alexander the coppersmith was the very one that sold Paul out and caused him to be arrested. And he was Paul's associate, Paul's friend. There's times that even those around us will cause loneliness. There's times that disobedience will cause loneliness, sin. There's times that separation will cause loneliness. We know in the life of Joshua is Moses' right-hand man, and Moses has died, and God looks at Joshua and says, listen, you're now in charge. Listen, people say it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
You find yourself in a position of leadership in the youth group, and you feel, or a position of leadership on your job or in the church, and if you're not careful, you'll feel isolated. But in the midst of Joseph and of Joshua's loneliness, God said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. Amen. We find that Job faced loneliness. Elijah faced loneliness. What about you face loneliness because of your separation? What about situations? Jeremiah felt lonely. Jeremiah preached to a people that, and even battled the discouragement. Jeremiah said, I'm quitting. I'm not going to speak his words anymore. Those around me don't want to hear what I got to say. And yet when Jeremiah wanted to quit, he couldn't quit. Amen. One preacher said, if you don't ever feel like quitting, it's probably because you're not doing anything. Amen. But when you're trying to do something for God and the devil's trying to give you every reason why you ought to quit, why you ought to throw the towel in, why you ought to turn your back on God, you need to remember what I said to begin with. You are God, the apple of God's eye. God has given everything for you. Don't quit. Don't throw the towel in. Don't feel isolated. Amen. Just stand for God, because if you will, he'll come by. He came by for Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I was weary with forbearing. We find that there is the, even, and I'm not, Jesus didn't sin, but Jesus was lonely. He left the disciples. He said, come. He said, pray. He took them to the Garden of Gethsemane, that inner circle, and he told them, said, watch and pray. He went a little ways journey and fell down on his knees and began to pray. And when he came back, he found them asleep. He woke them up. Said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And he went away again and came back and found them asleep again. I don't know about you, when you're asking somebody to help you or participate with you, to carry a burden, to join in what's going on in your life, and they find themselves asleep or disinterested. Yeah. You find yourself, in fact, the Bible said the angels ministered to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you face loneliness, it's not always a sign that you're in sin. It could be a sign that you're in service. It could be a sign that you're trying to live for God, that you're trying to walk with God. We find that there is a cure for loneliness. And we'll look just briefly. Let me run quickly. Let's look in our text at Jacob's life. If you know anything about Jacob, Jacob is, and a student of the Word of God, Jacob is a conniver. Jacob is always looking out for himself.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Jacob is to the place that he is. Betrayed his brother. The reason for Jacob's loneliness is he had come to the place that him in agreement with his mother had stolen the birthright. You remember his dad said, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. He was so he goes down and he finally meets Laban, and Laban outcons Jacob. And Jacob outcons Laban, and back and forth. And finally, here is Jacob. He's tired of being on the run. He's tired of being. It's interesting, and we'll not touch there. But even when he was leaving out, God reminded him he wasn't going to be left alone.
Yeah.
We find that on his way back, he's got his wives, he's got his herds, he's got everything that he has collected and connived and basically even stolen from his father-in-law. And we find that Jacob is such a great man, he sends his wife, children, and his servants out ahead of him because he thinks Esau's going to kill him.
Yeah.
What a man.
Yeah.
Honey, my brother's trying to kill me, so what I want you to do is you and the kids go out there first. So if he kills anybody, he'll kill y'all, and I'll still get away with it.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh? There are some reasons. I'm honest with you. If you read the life of Jacob, you wouldn't want to be his friend. If you're around Jacob, you got your hand on your wallet the whole time.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave your phone around. You don't want to leave nothing. Why? Because Jacob is going to be one. He's going to take everything he's got. He's looking out for Jacob.
Yeah.
There's times that Jacob is finds himself alone because of Jacob's own decisions.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's times that I found myself in a mess because of my decisions. But I'm glad God didn't leave me where I was at, amen. In this text, the Bible said that Jacob was left alone and there wrestled a man with him. We find that Jacob had a deceitful past. Jacob had a disturbing present. His brother's on the way. Jacob has a dark future as far as he understands. The last time he saw Esau, Esau said, I'm going to do my best to kill you. And Jacob was, and I don't mean this to sound wrong, but Jacob wasn't a hunter. And Jacob was at home with mama all the time. And so Esau, if you're taking odds, Be like Georgia playing Tennessee. You're pulling for Georgia. Amen. If you're taking odds, you don't think Esau's going to have a chance. I mean, Jacob's going to have a chance of beating Esau. Yeah. And Jacob knows that. He understands that his future is dark and bleak. But I'm telling you that in the midst of that, I was reading a man's book dealing with loneliness, and he made the statement that there's bridges that will lead you out. But with God, there's no dead ends. There's bridges that will lead you over. They may be detours, but keep going. God has a plan. And he said, listen, there's bridges that may lead you on, and there is direction. Here is Esau, here is Jacob. He's at a place that he knows he's got to go back. He knows he's got to face his brother. He knows he needs to get back to where God's going to bless him. God's not going to bless him down at his father-in-law's house. God has a plan for Jacob. And here is Jacob on his way back, and he finds himself alone. He finds himself empty. He finds himself in despair, and there wrestles a man with him. We see that there is a condescending in chapter, the cure for loneliness. There is a condescending, and the wrestle of man. If you study your Bible, you understand this is the Old Testament appearance of Christ.
This is God is
coming down. Aren't you glad? Listen, I'm glad for the times that God wrestles with me.
Yes, sir.
That's what we call conviction.
Yeah.
We're content in ourselves. How many of you have ever been to church and on the way to church, you was listening to gospel music, everything's fine, and all of a sudden the preacher got up and preaching, and God began to ring your number, and all of a sudden you begin to say, you're wrestling with him. He's putting his hand, he's putting his finger in areas that are not always sin. Listen, young people, I'm glad for those that God has salvaged their lives, has went out in the world. But listen, you don't have to do that.
Right.
Me and Brother Barry Spear was in a meeting several months ago at a youth camp. And Brother Spear, you know his testimony. And Brother Spear made the statement, said, listen, young people, he said, I had an opportunity to have a testimony like Brother Allen, like Brother Josh, my son. And he said, but I throwed it all away, and I carry scars and I carry things in my life. He said, don't go to the world and come back with scars and wounds in your life. Give God your life now. Serve him with everything you got now. Give him everything you got. Why? Because that's the greatest thing. I'm hesitant to brag on my son. He's both of my boys and my daughter has a heart to serve God. And Joshua was preaching down at the prison. We do a monthly prison service. And an inmate, he preached for me a couple months ago. And I come in the next month, and an inmate walked up to me and said, was that your boy that preached last month? And I'm thinking, oh, no, what'd he say? And I said, yes, sir. And that old big old guy with tattoos and scars all over him, tears began to run down his face. And he said, I always wanted to meet a young man that was raised to serve God. And he said, God's hand is in his life. And I said, sir, that ain't had nothing to do with me and my wife other than we tried to put the Bible in him and point him. He had to make the decisions. It's God that's done everything in his life. He said, I know that, preacher. He said, I understand that. He said, but I see in my own life and I see in my children's life, I raise my kids to party and to drink and to be in the world. And he said, to meet a young man with the power of God on his life and that he was raised to serve God. Listen, young people, it don't matter what God, it's not God's will for every young man in this building to be a preacher, but it is God's will for you to walk with him, amen. It's not God's will for every young lady in this church to marry a preacher or go to the mission field, but it is God's will for every one of you to walk with him. And listen, the devil's going to do everything he can. The preacher's talking about throwing Joan overboard, and when you throw Joan overboard, it's going to be some times of loneliness.
Yes, sir.
But if you'll stay faithful,
amen,
God will show
amen
up.
Amen.
There's a lot of young people, Brother Davey, Brother Hayes, if you've met them, they've messed their lives up because they didn't want to be lonely. Girls that just married the first fella that come along that gave them a time of day and promised them everything simply because they were 19 and thought they were going to be old maids. I'm saying you wait on who God has for you. You wait on what God has for you. You say, preacher, but it's lonely by myself. Yeah, but even Jacob is in his loneliness because of sin. Joshua is in his loneliness because of service. And when Joshua went out that night to prepare to go to battle, he saw a captain standing there with his sword drawn. Amen. And he said, are you for us or against us? And the captain of the Lord's host looked at Joshua and said, Joshua, I am the captain. I didn't come to take sides. I came to take take over.
Oh, yes.
I'm with you. You're with me. We have a, listen, the remedy for loneliness, there's a condescending. God came down. God came to Jacob. Jacob was looking for rest and looking for relief. That's the reason he lays down. Listen, he is trying to figure out what is he going to do about Esau tomorrow? What's he going to do about this? And he just wanted to put things out of his mind. He simply wanted to just lay down and sleep. And yet, God wouldn't leave him alone. There's a confrontation. God begins to wrestle with him. It's initiated by God. Jacob is not in an all-night prayer meeting asking God to move. Jacob is simply interested in going to sleep. And I'm telling you, God has a plan for Jacob. And God said, Jacob, you're not resting. I'm going to wrestle with you. Thankful that God doesn't leave us in our present state. He came to Elijah when he was discouraged. He came to Joseph when he was in the prison in a dilemma. He came to Paul when he was in the dungeon. Listen, it was initiated by God. It was illogical. Why would God show up to Jacob? Jacob is a conniver. Jacob is lying. Jacob seems to be, it seems like Jacob is warning everything he's done. And yet now he's wrestling with this man. And in our text, Brother Quay, it says that he wrestled with him. And as Jacob is wrestling with this man until the breaking of the day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when who? The man that's wrestling with Jacob saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, of his thigh. And it was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he, the one that done the touching, said, "Let me go. For the day breaketh," and he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I tell you, I don't know all that happened during that night when Jacob is wrestling, but I believe Jacob is coming. You say, "Preacher, why do you say?" Because in just a few minutes, Jacob's going to have to make a confession.
Yes, sir.
And there's going to be a change. There's going to be a conversion in Jacob's focus and Jacob's life. Jacob had to come to the place, listen, in the midst of that, it is illogical. You say, "Preacher, a man can't wrestle with God and win. God will let you win. To see what you're going to do." If you think the God of heaven could not have whooped Jacob that night, you must not read the God of the Bible. I'm talking about the God that parted the Red Sea. The God that allowed David, a little boy, to whoop Goliath. Amen. You say, "Preacher, God didn't have nothing to do with that." Sure he did. We'll get David up here in a few minutes. I'll hit him in the head with a slingshot. We'll see which way he falls. He's going to fall backwards. But Goliath fell forward. God was fighting for David. And here is Jacob. And God has given Jacob an opportunity. Listen, Jacob could have walked away from that and saying, "Yep, God thought he had me down. But I showed him." Jacob wasn't interested in winning. Jacob was interested in being blessed. Jacob was tired of being Jacob. During that night, Jacob had come to the place, if you allow me to make the application, Jacob was tired of being alone. Listen, you can be in a crowd of people and still be alone. And you can come to the place, there's a communion. And in our text, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not." In the midst of this, God has given Jacob an opportunity. Notice he asked him, verse 27, "What is thy name?" Well, the last time Jacob was asked what his name was, help me, what did he say his name was? Anybody remember? Somebody tell me. His father asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Esau." Jacob would have never got blessed till he got honest. And there's a lot of young people that come to our altars and adults that come to our altars and say, "God, I want you to bless me." And they won't get honest. And they walk back to their seat, discouraged. They've been in the meeting. They've been in the move of God. They've been in God's presence. But because they would not get honest, they go back to their seat, missing the blessing that God has for them. And Satan does nothing but turn that loneliness and that depression and that despair up in their lives. But I'm telling you, when Jacob said, "My name is Jacob. I'm the supplanter. I'm the trickster." God said, "Not anymore. You're not Jacob anymore, but you're Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Brother Davey, I don't believe I'm adding anything to the scriptures. And I'm not. I believe a call to serve God is a call to prepare. Prepare. I understand that. But I believe I could ask Brother Davey. I believe I asked Brother Clay, Brother Hazlip. There's times in our life that we prepared and we done everything, but we still didn't have that touch, that unction. We didn't have that power. And we come to the place that we got honest with God and said, God, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. God said, okay, now, if you'll admit to God, I'm nothing without you. See, Satan wants you to think you're nothing and you're not worth anything. But God said, you're worth everything. But without me, you can do nothing. And you come to the place that he confessed what his name was. He confessed who he was. He confessed what he was. And when God had done that, God, I believe, replayed, and I'm done. He replayed what he had told Jacob in Genesis 28. Go back with me just a couple of pages. You remember Jacob is leaving. Now, we're reading Genesis 32 when he's coming back. But God had gave Jacob some promises on his way out. And it took him over 14, 15 years to grasp those promises. But God's word hadn't changed. God's plan, listen, we find, you say, preacher, what is the whole, I preach this at our church, and I'm mainly geared it toward our older folks here at Christmas and those that have loved ones that's gone and facing loneliness and despair. But listen, I see it by the droves. I could tell you story after story after story of young people being introduced to drugs and all kinds of stuff simply because they're looking to try to fit in. And listen, all Satan will do is drag you into that pit, take everything you got, and walk off and leave you. I can tell you stories. I'm talking about true stories that of men. I met a 19 year old boy in Prattville, Alabama, at the Draper Correction Facility. Pulling 26 years simply because he was in a car with some buddies when something happened. And they pinned it on him. His friends. Those that he thought, they'll never let me down. I can go further than that. I got a brother who spent 6 years in prison. Raised in church, raised in a deacon's home. There's five boys in our family. I'm the best looking one, just ask my wife. I'm the smartest one, ask my wife. My oldest brother's a pastor. Two brothers below them started running with a family in our church. And these boys, they were good boys. I mean, they come to church, you know, but they got out in the world and drugs and drinking. And my brother ended up committing 11 counts of armed robbery with a boy that he met at an independent Baptist church who was his best friend. The laws hadn't changed. My brother's still been in prison. If he'd committed his crimes before they'd done the three strikes and you're out in Georgia, he'd still be in prison. I'm talking about his best friend. I'm talking about loneliness, trying to fit in. He'd just pay my brother to be the getaway driver to begin with. And he told my brother, said, if you go in with me, I'll pay you more. So my brother goes in with him. Long story short, his best friend throws a shotgun down next to his head inside the store because my brother freezes. His best friend that he met at church. His mom, the boy with the gun, and my mom are still best friends. So what I'm saying is don't think, well, preacher, I'm hanging with the church group. And you feel lonely and you begin to change and you begin to do things that you know's wrong just to try to fit in. You said, preacher, it'll never go that far. I don't think Jacob thought it had gone as far as it did with him. You said, preacher, what is the key? The key is saying, you know what? If I'm going to be alone, I'm going to be alone with God. I'm not going to throw my convictions. I'm not going to throw my standards. I'm not going to throw my purity. I'm not going to throw my future out the door just to fit in with somebody for a little while. I graduated in 1986, before most of y'all were born. That's sad. What year was you born, Brother Clay? That's depressing. Amen. And you know how many people, Brother Davey said it right, you know how many people in my high school I still have contact with? I'm talking about guys that I said, And they knew I was a Christian, served the Lord. I'm talking about some even were Christian. How many I still have contact with today? None. Zero. And I think Brother David was preaching it because he lived it. There's times that they try to pull you in just so you don't feel. And none of us want to be the outcast. None of us want to be. You say, preacher, what's the answer to that? Well, I believe it's a couple answers. First of all, there's the confrontation. There's a divine presence in our text. God tells Jacob in Genesis 28, and verse as he's coming out, in verse number 15, he said, behold, I'm with thee. I'm glad that God has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Right. Amen. He said, not only am I with thee, he said, but I will keep thee. In all places, there's divine protection in our lives. There is a divine preparation. He said, I will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee. Again, he's promising that. He's making his promise until I've done that which I've spoken unto thee. Now listen, God had made some plans and some promises in Jacob's life, but it had to get to the place that Jacob was willing to submit to what God wanted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And listen, young people, the devil wants to do all he can to cause you to be lonely, to cause you to be in distress, to cause you to make decisions right now that will alter your future for eternity. Songwriter, it's in our hymn book. The songwriter wrote a song years ago and said, the name of the song is I'm Never Alone. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When affliction's valley, I'm treading the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry my cross when it's heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness and earthly joys are all flown, my Savior whispers his promise, I'll never leave thee alone. He died for me on the mountain. For me, they pierced his side. For me, he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, he's waiting in glory, seated on his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So young people, when you feel like, you say, preacher, I face, and listen, we all do. There's your pastor, and I believe he would be honest. Sometimes it's lonely for a pastor. Because if you have friends in the church, there's those things, well, preacher's got to click. No, your preacher needs somebody to go fishing with or hunting with or shooting with or whatever, just like everybody else does. They need a friend. Brother Davy is one of my friends. I'm not in his church, and he's not in my church. We don't necessarily talk every week or every day, but I promise you, he knows and I know. If I need a friend, he's there. Brother Alvin's that way. Brother Clay, honestly, I believe, Brother Clay, if I needed you, I could call you. You know why? Because we know the burdens that a pastor carries. Brother Hazlett, we know the burdens that we carry. And what I'm saying is, young people, you say, well, preacher, I need to find somebody that's got a focus and a desire to walk with God and
that's
walk
right,
with them.
Preacher. That's right.
What would our churches be if some of the young ladies would begin on Sunday mornings to meet in the Sunday school room and pray before service ever starts? Get off, and the boys the same way. We talk about girls gossip, and the boys are worse than the girls. Sorry, guys, you know you are. Go to a barbershop. Well, what would it be? I'm not talking about the preacher boys getting along. But I'm talking about just a group of boys meeting before church and saying, hey, let's pray for the choir. Let's pray for the preacher. And let's pray while the preacher preaches that he's not alone, that God will put his hand on him. And then you can share your burdens with each other honestly and say, you know what? I need you to pray that God will help me. I'm not talking about self-help, but I'm talking about coming to the place that we realize Satan's agenda is to isolate and to conquer. And when he can get you to feel like you don't fit in with God's people, then he'll open the door for you to fit in with the world. He promised never to leave me alone. Preacher's going to come. Father, I pray you touch in this invitation. Give Brother Davy wisdom to close the hour. Lord, I believe that God, you have great potential in the young people that's in this building. Lord, from Calvary to Brooklyn to Gateway to New Grace. Lord, I thank you for our adults, but I really believe the future and the fire and the drive of our churches is found in our young people. Lord, I pray that God, you'd help those that's battling discouragement and depression in their lives, Lord, to have that confrontation with you and get honest and say, God, I feel alone. I feel isolated. I feel in despair. I'm going to get honest with you, God. I'm willing to lay aside the sin. I'm willing to throw the Jonah overboard as the preacher preached last night. But more than anything, I want you to bless me. I want you to touch me. I'm willing to get honest, Lord, so you can touch me. I pray you take our scattered remarks, Lord. Help these young people, God, this morning.